Has anybody in their house ever told the person who makes the meals the line that the Israelites told God in the first reading? We are disgusted by this wretched food. I would recommend not doing that for the person who cooks in your house. It probably is not going to end well. It didn't end well for the Israelites when they whined and complained about the food. Because then what happened was God sent the servants among them and it bit the people of Israel, and then they realized, oh man, we've been complaining and whining and moaning and groaning a whole lot, and we're sorry. So they beg and plead, Moses, help us. And he prays to God, and God tells him, make this serpent, this bronze serpent, and raise it up. And everybody who looked at the serpent that was bitten was then healed. It's a beautiful connection in what happens today's feast, the exaltation of the cross, that the whole world has been bitten by sin. And our Lord Jesus hangs high on the cross so that we look at Him, we gaze upon His suffering, and we are healed. Today's feast is a celebration of the exaltation of the cross, the wonderful victory that our Lord had when He hung on the cross, when He suffered and died for our sins and for our sake, and He gives us the promise of everlasting life. The timeless sign of the crucifix is a reminder to us of how much our God loves us. That He became one of us. That He embraced everything about humanity, including pain and suffering and even death, to give us the chance to be free, to give us the chance to be healed. We heard in the second reading today that beautiful Philippians hymn, that our Lord Jesus took the form of a slave and became one in human likeness. He became one of us so that we could be free. The celebration of the exaltation of the cross is a constant reminder to us of how much our Lord loves us. And whenever we need anything, when we're struggling with sin and difficulty, with pain and sorrow, we come before our Lord. We gaze up at the cross and it heals us. It gives us strength. It gives us courage. It gives us freedom. The cross also gives us a freedom from sin, because another cool connection in today's Mass is during the Eucharistic prayers. We talk about evil at one time conquered on a tree. Back in the beginning with Adam and Eve, the serpent was on the tree and said to Eve, hey, you should go ahead and eat that forbidden fruit. It's all right. God just doesn't want you to be as smart as Him. And so both Eve and Adam eat of that tree. They eat of the fruit of the tree. And today, we celebrate the conquering of our Lord over evil through the tree. Through the instrument of the cross, Jesus sets us free. So a cool connection today in the exaltation of the cross, that our Lord Jesus sets us free by hanging upon a tree. That He gives us freedom, He gives us love, He gives us mercy and kindness and compassion. In today's gospel, we hear the famous of all the gospels, John 3:16. So that we're reminded that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son for our sake. And we come together as Christians to celebrate that wonderful gift of our Lord, that He gives us freedom, He gives us love, He gives us mercy and kindness in our lives. We're also reminded of our call as Christians to go out to the world, to share that love of Jesus to the world, to be able to tell people about how great this victory of Jesus over sin and death is, of how awesome and powerful the exaltation of the cross is for the whole world. And in a special way we do that through priests and brothers and sisters and nuns who courageously lay down their lives to bring the message of God's love to the world. And that's why I'm here with you today. I'm the vocation director for the Archdiocese. That means I go out to parishes and schools and talk to youth groups and young adults and encourage them to give their lives in service to the Lord. Because we need men and women to go out and proclaim the victory of our Lord's love to all the world. And my friends, we don't have near enough priests and brothers and sisters and nuns to be able to carry forth this message to the world. And so my appeal to you, the people of St. Albert's, is that if there is any young people here today that feel called to be a messenger of God's love, to proclaim the cross to all of the world, be open. Be open to that call. because I have been a priest for a little over 5 years, and it is awesome. I can't think of anything I could do with my life that would be more fun, more fulfilling, or more rewarding than being a priest of Jesus Christ. So my friends, if God is calling you to be a servant, as a priest, a brother, a sister, or a nun, be open to that call. Be open to that call to serve and follow Him, because it is a tremendous life, a tremendous gift that we can give the world of telling others about the goodness of our God. And this message is not just for the young people. It's for all of us. It's for all of the people of God. When I was a kid growing up at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish, we had a priest come to our parish. And he said, look, if you know anybody from your parish you think would be a good priest or nun, you need to tell them. So after Mass, I had probably about 75 or 100 people came up to me and said, hey, we think Father's talking to you. Me? Hey, guess what happened? I'm a priest today. Maybe it was because of the courageous things. Maybe it was because of the courageous people that heard the words of the priest and said, hey, look, we see something in him. So the people of St. Albert's, one thing that you can do to help encourage and foster vocations is when you see young people from this parish that you think have good gifts, it would be a good priest or brother or sister or nun, you tell them, I see in you something special. I see in you a gift to be reverent and prayerful. And I see in you a gift of wanting to love your neighbor. I see in you the gift of wanting to proclaim the cross to the world. That we need to tell our young people. We need to tell our young people that we see those gifts in them. And we need to support vocations. Moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandparents need to tell their kids and the young people in their family that, look, when you're thinking about what you want to do with the rest of your life, priesthood should be one of the things you think about. Or being a nun or a sister or a brother should be one of the things you think about doing with your life, because it is a great way to serve. It's a great way to share the message of our Lord's love with the world. As vocation director, it pains me when I hear young people say, look, my family doesn't support the idea of being a priest or brother or sister or nun. And that's painful. It's painful to hear. But we need to have a culture change. We need to embrace young people that are thinking, I could do that. You know, priests and nuns, they don't grow on trees or in bushes. They grow in families. They grow in churches and parishes. They come from pews just like this. And we need to encourage young people. We need to encourage young people that if they are filled with that call to serve the Lord, that they answer. And we pray that we can courageously support them and tell them that this is something awesome, something tremendous, something fulfilling. My brothers and sisters, as we continue our prayer today, we thank our Lord for His death on the cross. We thank Him for the triumph that the cross gives us, a chance to be free, a chance for everlasting life. And we ask the Lord to continue to bless us. And then if there are young people from our parishes and from our archdiocese that are feeling the call to serve the Lord, that they may courageously follow the example of our Lord Jesus and lay down their lives to bring freedom and peace to the whole world.